With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
We the ish girls. I got Jenny and Lindsay and this bitch girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your womb. Hanestein squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune it, chill out, and feel good inside. Like it, girl.
Hey girls, welcome back to It Girls Podcast. This is Jenny.
This is Lindsay Hay in the his house.
Hope you're all getting doing well during the Christmas break. Hope you're getting a break, girlies. Shout out to my retail queens.
Yes.
Hopefully this will get you through maybe some of those long ass shifts. I remember that when I worked in retail, that was the worst thing ever. Having to fucking go back to work.
Like, yeah, so hard.
On like the 27th, you'd be like, and like it was also like going back to work when it's so busy because everyone's in being like spending their Christmas money and looking for a bargain.
Anarchy as fuck.
Oh my God, they get so annoyed when there isn't a sale on something. They're like, why is that not on sale? I'm like, I don't know. I just work here. I don't own Arnott's.
Oh, girlies. So, if you are at home and you're needing a little extra content, sign up to X-Gals. Join us over there.
Mm-hmm. And the first is the best time. So this is coming out 30th, but wait 2 days because we've got a really fucking lit sexpert coming on this Friday called Annabelle Knight. And she spills some fucking unreal tea that you're going to have to go over and listen to. But especially great if you are in a relationship, long-term relationship. It's all about like sex in relationships, the power of the orgasm.
And if you are someone who hasn't been able to reach orgasm, that's what Annabelle said.
I love it.
Reach it. She it did like give good tips, which actually I've been implementing.
Oh, fantastic. And like, you know, and
putting them to test and
putting them to use.
And they work.
Yeah, we do. We actually also in that episode do a live reaction to a video of a woman masturbating.
Yes.
So go find out what that is on
and
Friday.
We see like full on flaps were on our screen.
Vulva.
Sorry, excuse me, vulva. How dare I?
Not in a porn way as well, by the way. But you're going to have to go over to X-Gals. We've got a load of guests coming up. 2021 is going to be fucking lit for X-Gals and It-Gals. But thank you to everyone who is a patron this year. And shout out to all our future fucking patrons.
All our X-Gals.
Yes.
Get in the community. Get sexy. So this week we have a Q&A.
Our last one of the year.
Oh my goodness.
I couldn't believe it when I realized that when I put out the call. Because obviously we are doing a load of pre-recording for you girlies. So we wanted to make sure we had a good Q&A in. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, last one of the year. This is like, I mean, we do them once a month. So this is one of 12 probably of the year. But one of like... I mean, how many over the years?
We've done many. We've done a lot of answering to your questionas. And we got some good ones for you gals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of the things that we love to do with It Gals because we like to give truthful advice. You know, we don't like to be kind of trend based or like keeping up with what's like the cool thing to say on Instagram. We want to actually help people. That's why we have this podcast. So,
We learn along the way as well.
Totally. We've seen trends from like of kind of what everyone is, what people are dealing with in their relationships or in their life. And so we like to keep them kind of vague as well so we can hit a lot of people and hope a lot of hoes.
Okay, so we've got two here that I think are just nice little openers, Lens, okay?
Yeah, ease
Let's
us in.
Ease us
just
in.
The tip.
Just the tip. Okay, number one, beauty or fashion trends you want to leave in 2020?
Okay.
So like aesthetic trends that you're over.
I feel like every year there's a new eyebrow trend and it's like it can be done well, but so many people will take the like eyebrow trend of the year and just go crazy with it. It's like the brow lamy that we saw. I got it done. It didn't really work on mine. It does work on yours, mm-hmm. I think. And I also have been like gelling up my brows, which maybe I wouldn't have done in previous years. That was kind of like the look of like the brow.
A fluffy
look.
Brow.
Yeah, a kind of like Brooke Shields moment mm-hmm. on the brow.
A less manicured brow because yeah. like for years the brow trend was like a very like manicured, straight.
Kylie Jenner,
like HD perfect brow. HD brow, like carved out with concealer. We're kind of gone towards a more of a fluffy brow this year. I think that will carry on into next year.
I like the fluffy brow, but I do feel, like I said, that anytime there's a brow trend, people will just go like so crazy with it. Yeah. Like people were like literally their eyebrows were erect.
Like, I know.
It was like, it's supposed to be a kind of fluffy natural, like keeping them up and to kind of like, you know, to help your skin look fresh and like your face look kind of.
It was just an unkempt kind of like, it's like bed hair.
I think it was kind of like to, you know, the way like we're trying to make our skin look taut and up. So I think, but people then were like having them like straight up.
No, yeah, they fully had like vertical eyebrows.
Like their brows were fully on a bone.
I know, it looked, and also and like the like, thing is like,
why are you taking to that extremity? Like we love a fluffy brow, but why are you like, oh yeah, I see your fluffy brow, I'm gonna make mine fucking erect.
Yeah, like, I know, it's like, could you have a ruler there? Because yeah. mine are so fucking straight. Yeah, that was, people take a lot of trends way too far. Personally, I'm really over the like, I'm kind of over that whole like mad e-girl aesthetic.
Oh yeah,
it's very, you know what I mean? I mean, possibly not for my, definitely not for my age group. Sorry, absolutely definitely not.
Yeah.
But I find that it's one of those, I mean, it's like a maximalism thing. It's like, and then I'm going to wear flame trousers and then I'm going to wear like buffalo shoes and yeah. it's neon and there's see-through I look like purple I'm, on me as yeah. well. Like, what?
Like always, like they're going to work in feckin' Charlotte Tilbury, but they're looking like they're going to a rave at all times.
I
like
know.
These netted tops that have like a
some
fucking,
people can, again, like, I mean, the thing is some of these trends can be really carried off by some people.
Well, I think the thing about the e-girl is that it's kind of like, it's so specific, but now I felt like it really did bleed into society where like the normal people were also being e-girls. So it didn't, like, I understand, like, you know, it's a scene. I would see like the e-girl thing as like a scene, and if you're like really into rave culture or club culture yeah. and stuff like that, that it would kind of implement your style. But 100%. Girls who have none of that in their life are still dressing like they're on E. And it's like, but you're having a cup of tea with your granny. I just don't really get how it's kind of,
oh, well,
it's
yeah.
kind of not authentic or something.
Yeah, I think like fashion as a personality trait, you know what I mean? Like a style, like it's like basically like, I don't want to work on my personality at all. So I'm just going to start wearing luminous clothes.
Yeah, they put all their personality into their clothing and have none left for their actual, they're like, oh, I'm knackered after this get up.
I know. I'm trying to think what else. I don't think there was, do you know what? Probably because of, you know,
lockdown,
corona, there wasn't, you know, I think we all pay less attention to trends. I mean, there obviously are always trends and some, like, I know like a lot of people are going around in like their monochrome outfits, all brown, which I'm, to be honest, people are looking great doing a lot of them. The ones yeah. that I'm seeing. I do.
It's quite yeah. a classy look.
Yeah, I'm into for stuff that I do enjoy of trends this year. I think I enjoy more trends than I want left behind. I think I like that, like, trousers are having a bit of a more relaxed fit, a wider yeah, leg.
I
think
do like that.
I really am ready for that. I love this 70s aesthetic coming back. I think that's great. I'm afraid, though, like you were saying, with people kind of hopping on trends, I'm like, I'm scared for the amount of people that are going to get mullets next year and they can't carry it off, because we went in on mullets a few weeks ago and, like, dear God, I love them, but you have to be a very specific kind of person to yeah. really rock
the mullet.
Well,
the point as well of a mullet is that they are rare.
Like, yeah.
They never really.
You're like, oh, they have a mullet. Like,
oh, you have a mullet. That's so random. So it, but now that it's kind of every fucking
yeah.
bastard has a mullet, and anyone who like went to NCAD for a second has a mullet, it's like, oh, okay, it's just like the NCAD haircut.
Yeah.
You know, it looks so literal now or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not like Miley Cyrus's one is cool as fuck.
Apparently, a lot of it is extensions.
Oh, I'd say.
Fiona yeah. was telling me.
No, I'd say.
Yeah.
It looks a little wiggy on the fridge.
There's the some parts that look wiggy, yeah. But I mean, yeah, hers looks great. Again, a blonde mullet for me personally. I think a way that people can get around doing what they want a mullet is kind of, I've seen some people get more like a shag haircut if they have longer hair. I think that looks quite cool.
Yeah. I am also, I'm looking forward to next year because obviously the bulk of this year we spent in loungewear and like joggers and stuff. And I do think Kimmy K has been rocking this, like making joggers cool for like so many years. And I was always like trying, and I never, like when I put on joggers, I just look like I'm in joggers and I felt
like I was in my jammies.
Yeah. But I think it kind of has, I think this year has relaxed style as a whole. Like 100%. I'm not ready to go into next year and be like manicured, like, you know, in uncomfortable clothes. Mm. I've spent basically a whole year in comfortable clothes. I'm not going back. So I think that'll be interesting. I think it'll be more kind of like a natural style next year.
Yeah. And same with beauty. I think I think I said this last year, but girlies, can we please hang up the eyelash extensions? I know. I just really don't like them. There's obviously some people like the Kardashians who can, I don't know, spend €800 on their eyelash extensions, but they look and get them done every week and they look flawless. Most people I see are going around with like hardened, like plastic fucking flaps on their eyes.
And there's like three left.
Three or 4,000.
Yeah.
There's no in between.
And I have had them, like I said, I have had them. They are sore.
Yeah.
They're actually sore on your eye. And when you're sleeping, you are aware of your eyelash extensions when you're, you know, that kind of stuff. So I would like, I'm also, yeah, I'm excited for next year. I'm excited to be back out, being able to dress and go places.
Fingers crossed.
Fingy quassy,
girlies. I love that fucking girly baby voice. It's so gross.
So sick, but so funny. So sick.
Okay, then on that, what do you guys think was the most iconic moment from 2020? And I love this because it's almost talking about the year as if like none of the fucking bullshit happened.
Yeah,
it's like,
there
was
so many iconic moments of this goddamn year. And how many, I've never been in a year where like we referenced the year more. Like,
I know.
Damn 2020. Damn 2020 got me tripping. It's like, never has that been a case.
Especially for the whole year.
And everyone in the whole world could say it because we were all in this situation that we were like, can 2020 fuck off? Yeah. Like, yeah, can it?
Or like the memes are great, like just like trying to get shit done in 2020. It's like people like wafting through, like I saw one that was like this like CGI person just dissolving trying to walk. I was like, so damn true.
So
and it like
true.
Never not got funny.
Memes are therapy, dab on that.
Oh hell yeah,
they really are.
Iconic moments. I mean, I do love, what I love to look back on really with, I love looking back on like pre-corona, like just January, February when we were just doing, like we did Vicar Street this year. Yeah. Wasn't that this year? Like that feels like 5 years ago. We did,
that was iconic.
So iconic. Iconic that we got to do that.
Two sold out nights in Vicar Street.
In the nick of time. We literally did it obviously 14th, 15th or something like that. And then lockdown happened on the 3rd of March. 2 weeks.
My birthday. My fucking birthday, wasn't it?
Yeah. Remember I had our little trip booked and all?
I know. I had major anxiety.
Oh my God, yeah. Insane.
I was so crazy anxious at the start of the year, then my medication, great. Yeah. An iconic moment for me, let's think of our own individual ones or just ridiculous things. Love Island for me was like such a beautiful moment in time.
Really?
I feel like I'll never, it was just so momentary, like I'll never get that again. And that saddens me, but also I'm just so glad it happened. It was just the funniest thing. And having Ross on my live when he said he was 15.
That was hilarious.
That was like, 2020, you are blowing my damn mind.
Every time I think I know what's happening.
And now we're like pals. He video calls me sometimes. I'm like, yes. I think that whole Love Ireland thing, the fact that never, it couldn't have happened in any other moment in time. And that's why I find it iconic.
Yeah, so fucking true. I don't know. I find it hard for myself. I don't know if I have any iconic moments. Personally
moved in with Boo Boo,
I guess. Yeah, that, yeah. I mean, that's another thing I keep forgetting, like pre-corona, that's all I think of when I think of 2020 is just coronavirus. I'm like, but then I'm like, oh my God, January, February, all that kind of shit. Yeah, moved in with Boo Boo, that was fun. Loads of questions in the Tumblr about that.
Yeah,
I'm not moving out, so there you go,
it's working.
Yeah, I moved in with Boo Boo. What else?
I actually think the variants of lockdown in 1.0 and 2.0 were quite funny.
Reflecting on lockdown, I mean, it already has become hilarious to me.
Like the fact I cried on Instagram, I'll never forget. Oh my God.
When can we hug again?
I know. I hate that fucking ad.
I literally felt though, like, I mean, it was.
Just hug your man.
I do remember the first 2 weeks of fucking that lockdown.
The first one.
Yeah. Like the ridge. I just being like, I'm living in a zombie movie.
I know.
It felt so weird.
It felt like I was in The Purge. I was freaked. I was expecting like, I know, a guard on my door.
Oh my God. Iconic something. Moment. Those voice notes on WhatsApp. The army are going to be in 800 hours. It's all happening now, lads.
The guard is going to be at least in one of our doors. We won't be able to leave the home for 2 weeks.
Chickens on a stick.
Yeah, I was like, the rumors were insane.
The rumors were fucking iconic.
But lockdown 1.0, I think it was like, it did feel like a movie. And I think that actually helped aid us kind of like make it a little bit fun. It was like, oh my God, this is crazy.
It was so crazy. I couldn't take it seriously.
The pillow challenge. That was a pretty iconic slash low moment for humankind.
Or create, don't contaminate.
Oh, what was that again?
Like RTE shit and like,
oh yeah, and yeah, it totally like, didn't take off.
Yeah, they were like, come on guys, don't contaminate, create random content.
Okay, RTE, wake up. You are hemorrhaging money. Fucking sort it out or that place in Lansdowne's gonna be gone. Like, I know. RTE haven't got a fucking clue with the content they spew out.
Oh man, oh my God. Was like fucking...
That was iconic. It was so cringy and it went on for like so long.
Oh my God.
I think it was the whole lockdown. It was some random Instagram.
Well, I think it was actually only 2 weeks, but it felt
That's
like
long when it's like true. Every day I'm doing a story and I'm like, talking about RTE's create, don't come down now.
And like, even just like the random, like it's like, this is just, the weird thing about that was it was just content aimed at influencers. Like it was nothing for the general public. Like why would I, Sheila, with 200 followers, want to make a reel of different outfits I wear to work while working from home? Like
not everyone has to make content. And a lot of influencers shouldn't be making content in the fucking first place, let alone other people.
It was so bizarre.
I actually, a pretty like iconic moment in time. The calling out culture of calling out people for not doing COVID. That was fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I was like ducking, waiting for my name to be. I was like, the calling out. Like when Claire Balding called out, I think it was Lee Moran. And, these two people have never met, nor would they probably ever. They run
full on traveler call out video.
And he's in Dubai. And it was just like, what is going on?
The guard are like kicking their heels up. They're like, oh, grand, they're doing the work for us.
Literally. And it was like, what is the point? And all, I don't get it.
I know.
Oh my God.
People just like turning against each other. That was like cray cray.
I love mask swag. That was a bit of an iconic moment. Like, just I like seeing how other people are kind of wearing their mask when they're actually in a restaurant or something. You know, when you have to walk in with your mask. Mm-hmm. Some people like to hang it off the ear. Mm. Some people like to hang it off the wrist.
Some people are chin strap queen.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like the fact that we've gotten used to people wearing
masks. Oh my God. I was just about to say that. Like, I ran into Sarah and Fiona and our friend Rebecca the other week in the Chazza. Mm-hmm. And like, we were obviously all wearing masks in the Chazza. And then I left. And I remember like when I was, you know, when you kind of think back on running into someone, I was like, oh, I ran into them. That was nice. My brain copied and pasted their face onto the mask. Because when I look back on it in my head, no one was wearing a mask. So that is how used to I've gotten people wearing masks. Like when
it's like you don't see color.
Wait, when I literally fucking think back on memories of people wearing masks, they're not wearing masks in my head. It's so weird. So that is how normalized masks have become in my brain.
That would be such a good mask. If you could get a mask that was actually like just photo, like your face on the mask.
Yeah, I mean.
So you were still looking like you. And the best version, like, a, you know, with all the lipstick and all.
Mask game. PPE game, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would you never wear? I'd never wear one of those visors.
No. First of all, there's a big, like, there's an open space underneath your face for all the weird.
And they can see all the spittle on it. It's so disgusting.
And the foam thing that's on your forehead to, like, protect your little head.
I do love that the woman in Malahide Florist puts flowers on her visor. She decorates it.
That kills
it.
Kills me.
I love
trying to make the best out of a bad situation.
Other mask, iconic mask moments. Here's some. I love when you see like a man walking down the road and he clearly is wearing like his wife's mask or something. Like Evan Lindsay and Emma were going to, I can't remember where the fuck we were going, Woody's or some shite, a big day out in COVID. You're like, excursion. Ooh, shall we go to Home Store and more? And I had my Nimcake mask, our collab. And I had my other Nimcake mask, the pink one, in my bag, and he forgot his mask, so I gave him the pink one, and then he turned it inside out.
I will not wear pink.
I will never have pink. And it had like some of my makeup stuff.
I hate it. Do you know what I love about masks?
What?
The uncleanliness of it all.
I know, like fucking smushed against your face.
My father picked one up off the floor when we were going out the other day, and his gaff, like, there were people over.
Yeah.
The floor was
sticky
as fuck, and he like plucked. My sister once was going into a fucking off license. She didn't have a mask. There was one discarded on the floor, and she just put it on. Like, they are filthy rags that we're putting on our face. They are fucking in bits.
Oh god, everyone's like, getting acne from them.
Mask me.
But wear your mask, guys. Wear your mask. I'm actually grand at masks. Like, I mean, if it's vaccine and a mask and I get to go back to normal, fucking mask me up, bitch.
I can't, like, I lose them so much. It actually triggers me.
My mask swag is Nimcake or Dispose. Sorry, there I said it.
I like the black ones from Spar. Like, they're quite light. And yeah, my Nimcake one I really like because, first of all, it's swaggy as fuck. Mm. And it actually is triple layered. So I feel like the weird germy shit isn't coming in.
It's definitely the best one. I think I hate the ones, you know, the ones that are almost like that, like scuba material.
Oh, I don't mind them.
Hate them. They literally are so sweaty. I can, like, the condensation from my breath, like, they don't even fit on my fucking face properly. Like, I gave Evan again my pink one, and he was like, "Fuck, stink." And he's like, "This fucking thing." And I was like, "I actually know what
I hate. I hate so much when you're walking around with your mask and someone's smoking and it goes like through the mask, and I'm just like, ew, if you've COVID, like, I don't believe in this mask because I'm smelling like the cig, I'm smelling your fart and your vape juice.
I know.
So you're telling me that this mask is it's not protecting me from scents,
it's
from
disgusting.
Vile, disgusting smog in the country.
I know.
But wear your mask. Okay, well, we get into another.
Let's get into the Q&A. Let's get into the meat in the bones. I really want to do, maybe I'll put this up if I'm on Insta, because we're on our Crimbo break at this moment, girlies. But I'd love to know, like, what is your favorite, like,
it gals saying,
like, something that's always, or even like a bit that we do, like something that recurring comes up on the pod. We'll put that up because that's so funny. Like, I think I always wondered that, because the meat and the bones and segue.
And also, do you know what?
I just think I was on a segue.
I know. Oh, should it gals get some of those freaking scooters? Me and you bombing around.
Oh, apparently there's a man in East Wall who can up the speed limit.
Up the speed, I know. Like, they are fucking petrifying, those things.
No, they're insane.
I was walking the other day and one came like swing right by me. I'm like, wear a helmet. Like, first of all, it's always nerds on them. Like, they have briefcases.
Marnie, drug dealers use them.
Drug dealers do, yeah, because like they're zipping around and
very,
you can tell the drug dealers on them because
they're wearing candy juice. Montclair jacket.
Yeah. And they're the ones with the speedy ones.
Yeah, oh, they've got them fucking decked
down
out.
In East Wall, they've got them decked out.
Little spoiler and all,
you know, yeah. Subwoofer. But like the nerds with them who have like a little side Gola briefcase bag.
I know, like, oh, wait, I'm going to my job.
And a beanie. I'm like, first of all, you're a nerd. Why aren't you wearing a helmet?
At least be fucking true to your...
Like, wear some knee protection and a helmet if you're a true nerd.
You're a true nerd. Dress like what?
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
First question, hon.
Yeah, first question. Since I moved in with my boyfriend 4 years, a few months ago, I've noticed a drop in my sex drive and find myself not wanting to have sex with him as often. Before this, I'd never turned down his advances. I'm still attracted to him and we do have sex probably at least every 2 weeks. But wondering, is this normal when you move in with your significant other?
Significant other. I think that you have to differentiate
in the house.
Between... whether it's your sex drive that's gone down or whether it's like something between, like, you just don't want to have sex with your boyfriend. You know what I mean? Like I, there's always been times in like all relationships that I've had where, like, obviously we all have, you know, your ebbs and flows and you're in your sex drive. The year that's in it, tons, of course, it's going to affect your sex life.
Wasn't the horniest of years.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't feel my absolute bombest. You know,
I wasn't that fire emoji.
Ready to jump on the dick at any chance. But I think
especially when COVID was being, I remember
oh
being
my
like,
God. It's just the whole, dick in yeah, it was just like the last thing I want to think about is some boner, you know, but yeah. Like, you know, you have to, I would always ask myself that question. Like, it's like, okay, am I still, like, with your sex drive, is it, you're saying, like, I used to never, like, say no to my boyfriend's advances. So, like, is it particularly aimed towards your boyfriend? Like, are you looking at other people and being like, are you fantasizing? Are you, like, still getting horny at all? Are you masturbating? Are you, you know, are those thoughts coming into your mind? And if so, that's a different situation. But if it is just your sex drive and it's like you just don't even feel horny, that can be a really weird feeling because you can feel kind of broken, you know, that way. And it's mm-hmm. like then it's the extra pressure of living with your boyfriend. You're like, oh, it's almost like, fuck's sake, I have to fucking ride, you know, that way it can you can put it, like, a lot of pressure on yourself, and that can make you that to me makes my sex drive even worse when I'm like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, putting all that pressure.
With living with people, it does change the relationship quite drastically. It, like, I mean, especially if it depends, like, it's, there's variance. If you have, you know, you are together for 4 years, if you were spending, like, say, the bulk of your time together anyway, and then you just made the move, so maybe it was like,
yeah,
you know, it was quite an easy transition. But if it was that you were maybe seeing each other, like, at the weekend, or like really like spending date time mm-hmm. with each other and not really like having these long extended hangout periods of just normal life, and then you moved in, and it can, that's quite different when you're just dating someone yeah. to actually like living. And, you know, again, it was a year that we couldn't really plan dates. We couldn't go out and stuff. So it was very, if you were living with your partner, it was very like insular and claustrophobic.
You're probably working from home as well.
Everything was in our homes. Like, it was, I mean, there was nothing special about like your day to day. There mm-hmm. was like, I'm eating in my home. I'm working in my home. Mm-hmm. I'm sleeping and I'm also supposed to be shagging you. Like, everything yeah. is existing in this little cave.
I'm crying in my home.
Yeah, I also don't know what's going on in the world. Everything was yeah. scary. And but I do think, you know, you have to, I think once every 2 weeks, I don't know about like time, and it's to each their own. And like, yeah. I think with how much you're having sex has to be that you're both like, somewhat satisfied, I guess, you know, the way, like,
yeah, or like, what's the quality over quantity, you know, like yeah. when you do have, like, reflect on the sex as well, like, when you do have sex, like, are you, as you're saying, Lindsay, like, are you feeling satisfied? Did you feel like you're like connecting, like, or are you holding back? Because I think that we can, the, like, sex drive is can be a taboo topic because people a lot of the time relate it to like their self-worth or like their sexual, like, it's like, as I said, it's like you feel like you're broken or like, you know, it's a scary thing to kind of say to your partner. But I think like if you really have noticed it, a big thing, and if when you're having sex, if it's not like, you know, if you're not feeling like, like you're engaged in it,
but that,
like,
can be in your own head, like, totally. We spoke about that a lot with Annabelle on X-Gals, and it really, I have been now practicing since doing the podcast, like, you know, being present and really thinking,
yeah.
you know, just the little different things that she was speaking about, and advice that she was giving. I was like, okay, they're actually a lot more simple than you think. Mm-hmm. You know, when we hear about like, oh, I can never come or this or that, like, these are quite simple little things that you can implement into your sexual life. If we're looking at like sex health or talking for a moment about like sexual health, you know, a lot of the time it's more about like protection and, you know, not trying to get pregnant or that kind of thing. But sexual health in terms of like being connected and being like having a healthy sexual appetite is quite important as well. And I do think it is quite, it's very much aligned to mental health. So if you're not mentally like in a great positive space, it will definitely implement your sexual health. Because like, to be having good sex, I think you have to be quite in a good mental space, because like sex is therapy in a way. Like you, if for good sex, you should be like letting go, being in the moment, connecting with your partner, then being reciprocal to like your needs and you to theirs, mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. And if you are going through like a lot in your head with your mental state, or if maybe you feel like not connected with your body, if you've maybe been like putting on weight over quarantine or just not feeling as active as usual, those things can all implement your sex life, and you can then be stunted and thinking, I don't want to have sex, what's wrong with me, and get in your head about it. And then,
and we only related to a sex thing, like I think like when if and when like you're going through a time where your sex drive is lower in a relationship, or if you're single, whatever it is, you just probably notice it more if you're in a relationship, and you notice it twice as much when you're living with your partner. Like you do also have to give yourself a bit of a break over that, is like you probably have had these times of like low sexual appetite, you just haven't been living with your partner, yeah. where it's very obvious every day, you know, that way. So do give yourself a bit of a break, don't like beat yourself up over it, but also know that like, you know, I do, as you're saying, like a lot of sexual appetite, like or a lack thereof, will kind of root itself in something else. Like, you know, maybe work is really busy, maybe you're stressed over like fucking there could be another lockdown coming or whatever it is,
or money, like, issues, and
yeah,
like,
there's a multitude of things. But I think that you have to find out the root of it, you know, that way, like ask yourself like, what else am I struggling in? Like maybe it's being like manifested through my sexual appetite. And then also like, I do think that there is just so much power, and like it really does give you a lot of sense of relief if you just vocalize some of it with your partner. It doesn't have to be about sex. Like it doesn't have to be, if you don't want to be like, I'm not very horny for you right now, I can understand how that can be a bit of a like, you know, you might,
well,
not,
yeah, you have to be careful with your words.
Totally.
Like sex
talk is so scary.
Sex
for two women
huge.
Who do it for a fucking living as
well.
Well,
we can talk about, like, even, well, yeah, even to friends. Like, I mean, it can feel very, it can be kind of a, such a vulnerable space if you were saying to your friend, like, I don't want to have sex with my boyfriend. And as well, because they don't know the answer, so they can be like, okay, well, are you attracted to them? And instantly go to that kind of thing. Whereas I think it is such, definitely rooted in lots of other things. And, you know, you should just look at those first. And then also, though, I do think that, like, the main thing about like having good sex with someone and, you know, being able to be like close to your partner, and sex obviously like helps and aids that kind of connection. I do think that you should be able to speak to your partner and see how they kind of, you know, how they are reciprocal to what you're bringing them. Like if you're saying, look, I'm kind of struggling, I'm feeling like, you know, it's this elephant in the room that we aren't as having as much sex, and then that kind of thing, and talk about it. And if he can talk about it and you can talk about something which is really uncomfortable to talk about, in a manner of being like respectful and listening to each other, and, you know, leaving it out of the bedroom. Jenny and I always say this, never ever bring up sex talk in the bedroom. And I'm saying like literally in your bedroom.
Yeah.
Or like around the
don't
time.
Don't be like going to bed and being like, just saying no. Like it just.
Or when he tries it on, you being like, actually I wanted to talk. Like,
Yeah.
Definitely like, keep it away. Even like I would say on a walk or in, you know.
Give it neutral territory. You know, that
driving
way.
In the car, that's a great time to have conversations. If you're but driving in the car and you're just like, you know, you're kind of not looking at each other, and you can just be talking about things that are so like not in that space, you know?
And I think, you know, you also don't have to worry about like offloading it to your partner. Like, you know, do know that like if you're noticing it, they might notice it too. And that's not a bad thing. But what can really give you a bit of space to figure out where it's coming from or whatever the fuck it is, or a space to kind of like, there is a bit of relief in like, you know, saying it to your partner, because they get a bit of relief too by being like, oh, okay, they've noticed it as well. And you can be like, you know, like, look, I don't know, even if you don't know why it is, you can be like, look, I know my sex drive hasn't been the highest at the moment. I don't really know why it is, but just letting you know, like, I still love you. I still fancy you. Like, I enjoy the sex that we have when we do have it, and I'm working on it. You know, I think that that can give a lot of people, it can give people a really nice peace of mind. Like, if that was happening in my relationship and my boyfriend said that to me, I'd be like, oh, it would give me just that like, bit of relief of like, okay, I'm not going mad. He's not off getting his dick sucked somewhere else, or he's not like, you know, I'm not undesirable, because it is, it ties into that. It always ties into our self-worth, even though it shouldn't, but it does. It kind of gives you that thing of like, oh, do they not fancy me anymore? They, you know, sometimes you do have to vocalize the positive, you know, that way with them, these kind of things.
Yeah, totally. And I do feel that, like you said at the end of this question, like, you know, we do have sex probably at least every 2 weeks, but wondering, is this normal? I think whatever you're, if you were satisfied and fulfilled, and I think it sounds like you're maybe not, because you are kind of, I think once you're kind of like counting the sex, you know, when you're like, oh shoot, it's only once every 2 weeks, oh fuck, I better get a ride in, just because, so it's not good, just go into the 3 week time or whatever. Like if you, so I think you saying and noticing the time frame is probably you not feeling like satisfied within yourself. So that's regardless of like whether or not your partner is, if you are thinking this isn't a fulfilling sexual relationship, then like just work on it and figure out like how you can kind of like, and I hate the word like spice it up, but like if your relationship, you know, relationships change and grow all the time. So if you've moved in, just like implement little ways that can kind of like freshen it up slightly. And I'm not saying like fuck on the washing machine or whatever, you know, just like being able to speak about it out of the bedroom, and then, you know, just doing little things like figuring out when do you like to, when just ask your partner, this can be also another time, another topic. When do you like to have sex?
Yeah.
Because like we all have priorities. Like, you know, you were saying in your last relationship, and it was kind of similar to mine a few years ago, he'd always want to have sex at like, fuck, he'd like conk on the couch and then wake up at like 12 when I was going to bed and be like, trying it on. I'm like, fuck off, I'm tired. Like,
I'm in bed and I'm like cuddling up for a night's sleep and it's like a Tuesday, like the odd time, I might be a bit horny, but like, you know, most of the time when the time the lights have gone off, my eye mask is on.
Yeah.
I'm tired, you know, and like, I think that is, it's such a good question, Linz, because like, I think that, you know, especially when you're living with a partner, you get so neutral to like being in each other's company all the time that like it can happen really easily where you're like, oh my God, we haven't had sex in 2 weeks. And that's like not a big deal, but you do have to be like, okay, some of those mornings maybe or afternoons that we are around each other that we're not working, like, you know, also I think that as women, and this is just a general tip for loads of girls, if you're feeling like maybe there's a lack of sex, isn't really like related to this girl's question, but we are sometimes always expect men to come on to us. Yeah. And like, I do think that like, and I've done that loads where I'm like, we're not having enough sex, and they're like, well, you haven't come near me, and I'm like, oh yes, that is completely true. Like, we have our own signals, and we have to like come on to men too. Come on to your boyfriend and like let them know you want to have sex.
And also foreplay, because that's sometimes where I can like with
can be rushed.
Yeah, like that's what, if you're in bed and you're like half asleep, and then your fella's like boner in the back, and
like
and
the lights like, are off.
Are you fucking serious? Like you haven't even kissed me all day.
Yeah.
And you're like, can I put my dick in you? It's like, you need a bit of foreplay. You need to kind of just get back into those like initial throws, but also, it does get to a point, I think, if it's becoming a thing, you do have to actually, like, you know, pencil it fucking in.
Oh, and 100%, figure it out.
And,
100%.
Like, not be expecting, like, oh my God, he came back from work and he ripped my clothes off and carried me. It's like, no, you have to be like, we haven't had sex in a while. We need to fucking get.
Yeah. Like, let's just keep it at the top of our mind. And when we have a bit of time, let's get sexy. Okay, next question. Kind of similar to some of the stuff you mentioned there. So I'm going to go on to this one. I've gained some weight in Quar. I went from a size 8 to 10 to a size 12. I'm so paro to return to work. I'm so ashamed and embarrassed about it. I feel like a size 12 is a normal healthy size, but how can I get over this? Why does gaining weight feel like the end of the world? The most triggering part for me is I see bloggers who went from a size 4 to a size 6 to 8 from the age of 16 to 21 say stuff like, it's okay to gain weight and for your body to change. Yes, but you're all still toned as fuck. It's really hard. So I think this is something that loads of people will be struggling with. You know, I've heard it from loads of people. I've felt it. Like, this year was like no other year that we've ever experienced. Both in, like, you know, first the pandemic, but then like the repercussions of the pandemic being like us all working from home, gyms not being open, or not, if you didn't even go to the gym, you're just naturally going to be less.
We weren't walking anywhere.
And we had really, really high cortisol and stress levels in our bodies, which does make your body change. You know, like, no one was prepared for this. No one was made for this. Our bodies and our minds and humankind were not like, oh, I know exactly how to adapt to this situation.
And it was really frustrating for sure. And again, like we were talking earlier about the like differences between first lockdown and second lockdown. Like first lockdown, I think it was like there were the challenges, like Hal Berry was wearing a pillow with a belt around it and everyone was doing their home workouts and like influencers were doing like lives with their trainers and like, you know, let's get structure in this day. Everyone was in the sea and their dry rubs.
And it was summer.
And it was summer, yeah. You could actually...
Spring coming into summer is way different from autumn going into winter.
Yeah, well, like, we could enjoy going out. We could have picnics. We could go on walks and hikes and fucking whatever.
Yeah, whatever the
Everyone was, like, happy pair to fuck. It was like, okay. But then second lockdown, it was a bit like... The fun was gone.
Yeah.
It was like...
The novelty wore off.
It's like, this is a fucking joke. I can't believe this. And also, we had just gone back to wearing the mask in the restaurant. Having a little bit of salt back in our lives. Yeah. And it's like, no, in you get. And you're like, oh. So I think you can't... Like, your body reacts to things in many different ways, you know? Like...
Your body's way more sensitive than you give it credit for as well. I always notice that whenever I, like, miss a period. Like, if I'm... a tiny bit stressed or it's going through a tiny bit of a mental health break, my body's like, you're not getting a period for 3 weeks. I'm like, what? And like, I wouldn't even have thought that I was going through trauma. So imagine the trauma of like a whole year gone.
And it was trauma within us that expels through your body. Like, 100%. I mean, it always does. Like whether it's like I with stress, I don't eat. So that's how I kind of, my body responds to stress. And you know, people are like, oh, you lucky bitch. No, sometimes I look at pictures and I'm like, God, I'm such a lanky fuck now.
Well, it's no matter what, like, you know, obviously there's, you know, to state the obvious, there's nothing inherently wrong or shameful around gaining or losing weight. Like if that is how your body has responded to like something that you never could have prepared for, like so be it. And like, I remember I read a quote and like, you know, I know some of these Instagram quotes can be really corny and stuff, but it is true. Like someone was saying like, if the one thing at the end of, I think it was actually Jenny Keane, I think it was Jenny Keane, because she was talking about like some girls were saying like they didn't really want to get, who's a guest on X Girls last week. She's like a sexpert.
An orgasm expert. So fun.
And we'll be going to her orgasm fucking masterclass. That's on the 9th of January.
We will.
Dying for that. But she was kind of saying like, look, if at the end of this year, the one thing you have to say is like, I put on a little bit of weight. Brilliant. Like that is like, you've gotten through the fucking year. Like your body has changed slightly, but like it is, and like I do understand that. I know that feeling, you know, sometimes you can hear all these positive affirmations, but like it's still, it is frustrating.
I think the difficult thing with like putting on weight, or like
your body changing,
or sometimes in my case of like losing weight or whatever the fuck, however
your body,
body
changing in
things,
some way, yeah.
It can be like, you know, obviously we have like an archive of Instagram pictures. I see a lot of girls on Instagram being like, can't believe this was a year ago. Fuck, I was so skinny. Fuck, I want to get back to that. I want to be that girl. Yeah. And it's like, you know, you have to just, it can be a big deal in our brain, but it also is so not a big deal.
It really
is so not a big deal. Like you're talking about being like a size 12, like, I mean, and I understand that it can be like triggering and it's new and you have to buy some new clothes or your clothes that you have in your wardrobe don't fit the same, and you can feel quite like insecure. Or like you were saying, you're going back to work, you don't want to feel like people are like going to be speaking behind your back or saying something to you or whatever. It's a multitude of things, but it is a very like, I think sometimes, you know, there can be so much going on and they can just focus on this one thing. Like my sister, I think my sister Sarah is moving away to Spain in the new year, and both my sisters live at home and they're twins, and Fiona is getting, you know, she is a stress head anyway, but she's really upset about this, as we all are. I fucking will miss my sister so much.
Of course.
But Fiona's really upset about this. She dyed her hair and now all she can think about is her hair.
Her story. She's and like, the hair extensions or no extensions. I'm like, it looks the same.
And it's like,
and your hair is
beautiful. She's just focusing on this little thing because it's like, and it's same, like we can be so, we live in our body. It's quite a lonely place. Like we only know our own body and we, you know, so when it's changing, we can be so like focused on it and everything like that. But like whatever is gained can be lost and vice versa. So like I have moments like this year, I didn't lose. I think last year, whenever we did that, I lost a lot of weight because I was stressed.
And I think it was the start of this year.
Yeah.
The start of this year, you lost quite a lot of weight.
And I was like, not looking good. I was looking like just legs. And like, just like, and like my clothes are fucking hanging off. I look like a freaking long 10-year-old or something. And I just was like, okay, I have to eat more. And I have to focus and like, you know, try and build up how feeling good again and looking after my health. So those things, like, you know, it took a little while.
Yeah. And like, that's, you know, give yourself a break, you know, really, like, you have to be mindful around these things, as in, like, you know, not that you need to rationalize putting on weight, but like, if your body has changed during this year, like, just remind yourself. I have to do it all the time. Like, I mean, I was in great shape in the first lockdown, because as you were saying, Lindsay, like, everyone was doing the workouts and blah, blah. The second lockdown, it was coming into winter. It was my birthday. It's coming into Christmas. I was probably eating more, drinking a bit more, and I wasn't in the gym and I didn't do any workouts.
And you just fell off the wagon a little bit.
And like, I just completely forgive myself. Not the, look, that's a strange way to put it, like forgiving, because I didn't do anything fucking wrong.
You just didn't beat yourself up about
it.
Like,
I accepted it. And it's like, if you're like, a body is just a body, and I understand the feeling. No one likes that feeling of putting on jeans that you haven't worn in a few months and they're like really tight. It can make you feel bad about yourself, and
you
shouldn't.
Can feel quite sluggish.
Yeah,
and, kind of.
And yeah, if your metabolism is running and your sleep might be a bit off and all these things. But what I would do is just, like, as you said, Lindsay, remind yourself that, like, bodies are built to change. A, like, that the reason why we can put on and lose and all this kind of stuff.
And this is something that you got to get used to. And I always,
your face is going to change as you get older. Like,
our fannies are going to drop.
Yeah.
Like, I'm petrified for that.
Like, but all these things are going to happen. And there's loads of little small things that, you know, as you get older, as you, your hormones change, like, all these things will happen. And the only thing that you can control is how you respond to them. And, like, if you just respond to those things with complete acceptance and, like, you know, not being too hard on yourself.
And accepting the realities of life. Yeah. Like, you're not going to, I think, like, our generation is so, if you don't have a big ass, buy one in Turkey. If you, you know, all these things, we are changing constantly, like, trying to change and maintain ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, we see celebrities, like, I watched, actually great watch, Lisa Rinna, is that her name?
Lisa Rinna, yeah.
She did a Vogue Get Ready With
Me. Did
and it's
she?
Just, we should watch it afterwards. It's just so extra. And like, her skin is like a 10-year-old's, but it's also just like, you are running and running and running from the realities of aging.
Mm.
And like, also, like, she was like, I have been doing this for years and it's like so much work. And it's like, oh, do you know what? I'll fucking take the wrinkles, whatever.
You also have like a facelift, Lisa Rinna, so sure.
Yeah. And you also are a millionaire with access to like the best stuff, and best whatever. But it is like, you know, I see like our parents, Jenny, who we've both had on the podcast, and it's like, you know, our mums are so not vain.
Mm.
And like, my mum and your mum, like, they love looking glam. Like, they spend however, like, 15 minutes getting themselves ready, looking presentable and feeling nice. And then they just go out and live and do things that they enjoy, and they have their friends. You know, my mum doesn't sit around taking belfies. You know, my mom doesn't like contour her face or like, and she's so happy and loves herself and is such a beautiful person. And so is your mom. And it's like, I want to be like that. I don't want to be this like self-obsessed body person. Like, when I'm like, you know, because I'm going to get older and I have big tits, they're going to sag and look different. And like, so are our bodies, and our metabolism will slow. And like,
and there's nothing that can prepare you for that. And you know, there will be a time in your life, whether it's now after quarantine or whether it's in 25 years after you've had a few fucking kids and your tits have dropped, that you're gonna look at a picture of yourself and be like, oh my god, I looked like that. And you could see a picture of yourself now in 20 years and be like, oh my god, look how fucking banging I looked. And if you beat yourself up when you look like that, like, you know, you will never, I have never in my life looked back on a picture of myself and like being like, oh, you're this, or like, even like this, like there's some old pictures of mine, like before I even had like my lips done a bit and I was seshing a load, my hair was mad and I had kind of puppy fat on my face. I never look at myself in that place and go, ugh, I look gross. I just laugh. I'm like, I was having so much fun. I had like all these friends, like I was looking mental, you know.
We all were.
Yeah, like we all look like we're dressing crazy. And it's like, you know, so there's no point beating yourself up now over something. You'd never want to look back and be like, oh my god, I didn't know how good I had it. I didn't know how easy I got through quarantine. All I did was put on like a kilo or two.
Went to a dress size.
Yeah, don't beat yourself
up.
And also,
like, I remember my friend saying this. My friend had been speaking to her granny, and I think she was kind of putting herself down a little bit and mentioning, you know, that she wasn't happy with her looks or her hair or whatever. And her granny says, be careful how you speak to yourself, because when you're sat in this chair in your 80s, you'll remember everything you said to yourself when you were younger. So like, imagine, like you said, like, you can look back at a Facebook memory from 5 years ago and be like, oh, I was so skinny then. Oh, I wish I looked like that. But I didn't. And now it's like, yeah, but in 10 years, you'll be looking back at this time. Just enjoy yourself. Like, you don't want to be coming out of quarantine when we're finally like getting back into normal life and being like all insecure. Everyone has changed. And like, oh, like I don't notice anyone else's, but like, just be happy, just figure it out yourself and don't make it rule your whole life.
Because and when,
like,
when you go into the office, trust me, the last thing people are going to be looking at is your body. Everyone's going to be figuring out how to socialize again. Like, they're not going to be like, oh, Sheila looks like about an inch bigger on the waist. They're going to be like,
is.
Hello, do I elbow you or do I handshake you? Yeah. Where is your mask? Like, like, it's grand.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has gone through this same year.
But it, yeah.
Everyone
will It's also expected. Like, I, you know, 100%. I know people who've put on and lost weight. And I'm like, yeah, of course you have. Of course everyone has.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were sat inside for a year. Yeah,
bodies change. You just have to accept it.
Yeah.
Don't beat yourself up. Don't be ashamed. And give yourself a bit of a break. And you'll be feeling great by the new year. Promise.
Yeah. Just
get back to your little routine as much as you can.
Yeah, exactly. Another question. Hey gals, my boyfriend and I are really close with another couple. My boyfriend's friend originally, but I've gotten really close to the girl. We went out for drinks, just the two of us, the other day, and she told me that if her boyfriend had ever cheated, she'd like to know. She lives with him and has a baby with him, and he seems to have settled down, but I do know that at the start of their relationship, he did cheat on her. What should I do? Eek, eweeky. That is such a like... rock and a hard place kind of moment. It's like,
I think
it's a hard one because
it is a hard
let's
one.
Paint the picture. Okay, so you're the girlfriend, so and regardless of the amount of time I think that you've spent or that you're together, I think I don't know, from even just from like an outsider perspective, I always notice that like the since it's the boyfriend, your boyfriend's friend, so it was kind of like you are walking into the situation here, and yes, you and the girl can become like really good friends, but still the
it's
kind of anchor
by circumstance,
is
kinda.
Yeah, that you're both of your partners
yeah.
kind of have the foundation of yeah. the situation, and you guys are just like, and again, you can get really close to people, of course, but I would go with the thought process. I would just say don't meddle. That would be my advice.
The main reason I would say don't meddle. Now, interesting, you said opposite before though. That you would always tell someone if you knew they cheated or something.
But well, she's saying one, that like her boyfriend said. Now, there's a total difference in, I can say...
Your pal.
I think there's a total... Like, she's saying, I do know. Like, a lot of the time you can be in a situation where like your boyfriend is... You know, like you and your boyfriend tell each other everything.
Yeah,
whatever,
yeah.
And he can be like, oh yeah, no, I know he does cheat. No, yeah, I know he does. Yeah. If you... I would never go and say something to a girl and like meddle... Unless A, I had proof, or B, I was there or something. You know, like say if I went to a party and in front of my face, this boyfriend was like snogging another girl. I'd probably more so go up to the boyfriend and be like, you're going to have to figure that out yourself. I don't really like the idea of meddling. It's a weird one.
For me, this specific one is different, as in like, why would you tell someone about like... You don't know the history of this person's relationship. You're saying that like, you know that he used to cheat on her and they've since had a kid and moved in and settled down. You don't know that they haven't like addressed that. She had maybe found out and they haven't like healed from that and like moved past it. So like all you're really going to be doing in that situation is kind of outing that people are gossiping about their relationship in the past. Like if they have, it's a completely different situation if you know that they have a kid and he's going there every weekend riding someone. That's completely different, I think, than like, I know for a fact that your boyfriend cheated on you 3 years ago. Like, is it like you always have to like, what's the good gonna happen there? Like, what are you like, what you want her to break up her family, like, or you're just gonna unearth something that they've already addressed, and then it's like obviously that everyone's still talking about it. She's gonna feel like shit because people are still talking about it.
I don't think they addressed it because she said that like she would like to know if he ever cheated. She said in the message, I just shortened it down, she said like at the start of their relationship he was going to festivals without her and things like that. I'd say she has a niggling suspicion that happened. And sometimes I think that fucking people actually don't want to know. They think they want to know because they have a kind of, they're like, you know, sometimes it's kind of like probably right in her face. Like he went down to a festival, didn't talk to her, didn't see her for a week afterwards, and there was like weird fucking Instagram stories going up, which made it kind of obvious, but she didn't have the proof or something, I think, as well.
But then is she not asking? It's a tough one. I think say for example, like, because I remember we had this conversation before on the pod and you said, I think I said that I wouldn't tell, just, it was like, would you ever tell a girl? And you said that once you did tell someone, right, that you found out that their boyfriend was cheating on them or something like that. And
yeah,
that it, that you said, I remember you were like, oh, it like, get, you know, if I have this information, why would I not tell them?
That was a different situation because A, it wasn't in my friend group. It was a girl I had gone to school with.
Okay.
And a girl who I was friends with. And it was like, this information totally fell on my lap. It was okay, like, I was hanging out with my friend who was single. And she was like, oh my goodness, look at this guy who I'm hooking up with. He always sends me these mad Snapchats. And it was like him naked like swinging his dick around in the mirror. And I was like, I know that guy. And he goes out and lives with a girl I went to school with, and they have a kid.
So you had like evidence.
Evidence. And I was like, and I wasn't close to this girl I went to school with, but a friend of mine was. So I didn't even know if they were together or not at the time. I was like, oh, maybe they've split up, I don't know. So I said it to my friend. I was like, look. And she was like, yes. And he's basically like pretty, you know, abusive to her, as in like he's really controlling. He doesn't treat her well at all. And like, they have all been pretty concerned about this relationship not being a healthy relationship. And this is something now finally proof. She had these like,
it was a get out of jail. It was an obvious thing
that he was going out every fucking weekend, not seeing her for 4 days. Yeah. And like, you know, that kind of thing. So I was kind of like, okay. Now again, I was a total outsider in this situation, but I thought in that regard, and a lot of the times
you were armed with like better information there rather than just like, you can't be armed with rumors. That's like, because what's going to happen is you always have to play out the possibility in your head, right? If you go to the girl, I know your boyfriend cheated on you in the past. And then she's going to go, okay, where'd you find that out? And you always go, I can't tell you. Who did you cheat on me with? I don't know. When was it? Couple of years ago. You're like,
and you can't, like, as a, you know, if you are in a relationship and you guys are a team, you can't be talking at your fella. You know, like if your fella has told you something about his friend, you know, you kind of have to maintain sometimes their code of conduct of like friendship, because like if your fella is telling you something and then you decide to be the pigeon who's going to be like, okay, well, basically Owen told me that in 2011, when you guys first were hooking up, they went away to Spain and he did. It's like, you're just that annoying girl. It's, and it's like, then well, it's you're just, it's opening up this whole mess that it's like, where's the proof? With that one where I had the video evidence and I had the girl coming to me and not knowing. And also he was fucking two girls around because he was saying that he was single.
Yeah. I think like the thing is, it depends on how much like ammo you have, as in like how much proof you have. And like, with the boyfriend thing, like I would personally, what I would do in this situation is I would tell my boyfriend, like, I don't want to hear about this anymore. If it's going to be information that like I'm expected to hold, I don't want to be holding secrets from someone, especially someone that I'm trying to be friends with. So like, if this is happening, maybe talk to your friend. I would probably encourage my boyfriend to like have a word with his fucking mate and be like, look, she has come to my girlfriend being like, tell me if he's cheating. And I know you're cheating. Yeah. So like, maybe wrap that up or fucking break up with your girlfriend or whatever the fuck you want to do.
Yeah, sort it out.
Sort it out between the two of you.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah.
Once like, the rumors start to bubble.
And if it's like that you guys, because like if you are in a couple and you're hanging out with another couple who are maybe facing some problems and are kind of in some ways bringing you into them, it can affect your own relationship. So it's like, no, you aren't there to clear up someone else's relationship. And like, obviously this girl has an inkling, because
I'd never be like, Lindsay.
Yeah,
I'd be like, it goes without a doubt if you found out like that I was being cheated on, you'd be like, Jenny, blah blah blah. But like,
but she obviously knows that some shit went down. Now, you know, she can kind of, in some ways, is for her to figure out. And you know, I'm not saying that you barefaced lie to her face, but like, I would, yeah, if it is, you're saying that your boyfriend is, they are the foundation, they're the friendship that kind of started this, you know, you guys hanging out as a couple together. So yeah, no, I mean,
it's a balancing game. It's a balancing game. Like, I mean, I think
you want to see if your fella's being a good friend.
I would first bring it to your boyfriend.
Not just letting your friends get away with treating people like shit.
Yeah, I would first bring it to your boyfriend and be like, look, she's come to me, asked for this. You need to fucking talk to your friend, because if it comes to the day that I see him getting with a girl and she's not out, like if I see it in front of my face, maybe you can't keep that back, you know, that way. And then it's like, you're jeopardizing your friendship as well. You're probably only going to be getting closer.
I think
to this
there
girl.
Is a difference between like totally like seeing you're all at a sesh and he's like blatantly cheating and
or bragging about it in front of you or something, you know, that way.
Something that you have like that it was given to you in a sense. However,
if it's rumors
at the start of their relationship, maybe you weren't with your fella at that time.
Yeah, then it's none of your business.
And it's also just like, you know, yeah, leave it.
It's just not, you have to choose your battles, right? And especially when you're in like friend groups.
And we can't fight everyone's battles.
No, and when we're in friend groups, and just don't become like, a lot of girls can get like tied down in this whole thing of like, they're meeting their fellas' friends and all the girlfriends, and then they end up having this kind of like wives club of like gossiping and like, she's going through a very hard, it's like, fucking chill out. This isn't Desperate Housewives. Like, mm-hmm. You're young, relax. Everyone's relationship problems like aren't your problems, and there are a lot of relationship problems that A, you're not going to be able to fix, and B, they just have to figure out between themselves. Now if you do go to a point where you, as you said, you've got fucking, you know, a flaming like proof in your hand and you want to go to that girl, albeit, but like,
yeah,
don't be a busybody. It's
and
a
there
bad
are ways
look.
To kind of handle, like, you know, I have had girls come to me and be like, oh, I don't know if, like, I feel like he's not treating me right, I feel, or if she's saying like, oh, I've, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth that I know that he went to these festivals and was like,
you know,
gone for 4 days. And it's like, you can, I think how you can help the girl in that situation is by saying like, yeah, I, like being honest, if you wouldn't be okay with that, be like, yeah, no, that I wouldn't really like, you know, that wouldn't, that would make me insecure too. So like, you don't have to be like, well, okay, fine, I heard this. You can be like, yeah, no, I understand where you're coming from. And then that would also aid her in like, okay, I'm not being crazy thinking that was odd, you know?
Yeah.
Next question.
One sec. Sorry, my phone's gone. Okay. How do I deal with being in a relationship with my boyfriend when I hate his girl best friend? And I think this goes, like, if we bring it beyond girl best
friend.
This
is like the opposite of the last question.
I know. But like, not even like girl best friend, but like, you know, dealing with your boyfriend's friends. It is a funny thing that like, when you get in a relationship with someone, you're choosing to go out with that guy, right? Because you like him, you like his personality, all the rest. Then all of a sudden you've got like their 15 mates, and there's always going to be one friend, girl, guy, whatever it is, that you're like,
they're coming.
And it's weird because you're not like, it's like we would never be friends. You know, if we met, me and this guy or this girl would never be friends, but we're going to be around each other a lot.
And then it turns out we're hanging out every weekend.
Oh my God.
We are best buds, according to how much
but
we hang out.
The girl best friend thing, I think a lot of it can come from, you know, girls have this like natural competitiveness between each other. And like, a lot of girls can get really freaked out when their boyfriend has like female friends.
It's correct. Yeah, I also think it's quite a new thing in Irish society. I don't think it was... I think it's only kind of really implementing itself in Irish society that men and women can be friends, platonic friendships, really close, best friends, still friends when they get into a relationship. I didn't have that growing up. My parents didn't have that. So it's still, you know, it's something that I only in the past few years, you know, when since kind of being single for like a large period of time and not wanting to, you know, have a boyfriend, but wanting like male, you know, I really get on with men, so I really like hanging out with them. I kind of actively push myself to make like male friends and platonic friends and like nourish them. And like, you know, because that was something, I think we said that in a podcast years ago when we were like, goals for 2019. And I was like, I want to make like,
yeah,
I wanna,
you wanted more male friends.
Yeah, I want to nourish my male friend. Like, I had them, but I was like, it was different to my female friends. But this year I've really like worked on my male friendships and have like really close, good friendships with men, which was new to me, but I really, really value them. And I think it is something new in our society. Would you agree? Like, I don't...
I don't know if it's new. I think that, like, in general, like, with, you know, if you look back at historically, like, women and men would have been more segregated because women would have been in the home, men would have been in the workplace. Obviously, with men and women now being in the workplace a lot, like, you have to also remember, like, even in the 80s, I remember my mom saying, like, it was so normal that when you got married, you stopped working. So, like, you know, my mom got married when she was, like, 24. So a lot of people would stop working then. And then, obviously, you're going to, like, be around less men platonically. So maybe our parents' generation didn't have it a lot, but I definitely grew up. I think the thing is that we all have to remember is that people's relations to the opposite sex, especially in Ireland, is really to do with like their background, like what kind of school they went to, what kind of parents they had, and all that kind of stuff. Because
it's definitely rooted in like, you didn't have the religious background and definitely.
So there wasn't that like sex thing, the risk of sex.
And I was not allowed to be friends with guys. Yeah. Like, in the church where most of my like socializing would happen when I was a teen and stuff was segregated. Like there was the girl group and the guy group. We didn't, even when I went away to Germany for like Christian camp, we would have an hour at night of like free time, and that's when you could hang around with men.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The only time,
and that's what
it
you have
separated
to,
the whole time. So I never had the chance.
So it's so it's just it's normalized for different people in different ways. Like you know, you and I, Lindsay, both went to mixed schools, which is really rare in Ireland. Most people go to like male schools, like segregated sex, gender, whatever the fuck you want to call it, schools. So you know, the all of those things inform how you act around the opposite sex, and also it depends on what kind of industry you work in. Like I've worked in both, like one place I worked when I worked in beauty, it was like all women and like the odd few gay men. And then when I moved into advertising, I remember being like, oh my God, it was so weird to me that there was like 45-year-old men in my office. I was like, this is mad. These are like men, like some of them were like close to my dad's age.
It's amazing
age.
To be like, to put yourself in that position and be like, okay, I can actually
100% and
conversate with an older man and try and get on the same level as someone regardless of this, because that was something I really had to actively push against, because you know, hanging out with the opposite sex was so sexualized in my upbringing. Like I wasn't allowed, like, because my parents, again, they've changed hugely over the years because I kind of tested the asses. But like, you know, it was like, well, if you're friends with men, you're giving them the wrong idea and this kind of stuff. And if you're dressing like that around men, you're giving them the wrong idea. So it always felt like, oh God, I'm a hop, skip and a jump from being like giving men the wrong idea from being getting on with them. And I was always quite careful of myself. So I do think, you know, if like with this question, how do I deal with being in a relationship with my boyfriend when I hate his girl best friend? Why did you tell us that it's a girl? There is times when you go and hate your fella's male best friend. But I think, is it more of a stinger because like you feel that you should be getting on because you're the both same sex and that kind of stuff?
You need to figure out the root of this. Like, is it rooted in like this kind of, there's always an untrustworthiness I've seen a lot of people about like the men's girl best friend where they're like, you're not just friends, or maybe you heard that they, I don't know, shagged 5 years ago and all this kind of stuff. Like, so first of all, you need to like ask yourself, like, you know, you haven't really told us any, like, because you haven't told us any instances that have like kind of made this best friend deserved of your hatred, you know, as in like, was she bullying you? Is she mean to you? Does she not like, does she speak down to you? Like, you haven't given us any tangible reasons. It makes me think that possibly it's just this kind of like uncomfortableness of your boyfriend being close to platonically another woman. And it's really common, but you have to dismantle it in your own head. I think you have to, like, I mean, for example, like people always say to me, they're like, how do you deal with Evan's best friend being Roz Purcell? And I'm like, I like, obviously Roz is like, you know, I mean, she was like named the most beautiful woman in Ireland, but like, I just, you know, you have to trust your boyfriend in the sense that like, if they're like, this is my friend Jessica, try and not let your mind immediately go to like, she's my competition, or like,
what I did,
she's trying to steal my boyfriend.
What I did in my past, this is how I've always kind of handled it. And again, I've been quite disciplined in, say, with my last relationship. It was like so unfair. Yeah. I was always so cool. He had loads of girlfriends. He had friends that he used to like sleep with that they became friends. He had friends that he had long-term relationships with and remained friends. Like, I went over and stayed in their home. Like, I had ex-girlfriends of his stay in Argaff. And like, I just was disciplined in the like, if you're telling me it's a friend, I prefer to just go in with trust and be like, yeah, fine.
What's the point in the opposite, you know?
Which was all good until he didn't react the same.
Yeah.
I had friends that were male, or
it wasn't reciprocated.
Yeah. Or if like, again, like you can be friends with someone and like the guy might fancy you and you may not fancy them, but still you can just be friends, and that can be like a known thing in your friendship. Like, you know, you can't control other people's feelings and shit like that. But I would say what I've done and what I've learned from like, you know, past experience, it is, if he, it's how you kind of react to it. And I also do that as well, because my last boyfriend was so kind of controlling over my male friendships and stuff, I just wouldn't kind of tell him, and I would kind of then like not really be nourishing my male friendships as much because he would make such a big fucking deal about it and like, you know, sexualize the whole thing, which then made me feel uncomfortable hanging out with my boyfriend and my friend because it was like, I'm trying to act a certain way that's making my boyfriend not think that I'm close to this guy, you know, because he sexualized it, which again I was used to from my upbringing. But I think that you just don't ask a lot of questions. I find sometimes from, you know, friends of mine, if they're in a new relationship and their boyfriend has a girlfriend, they can be like, so he has this friend. And like they have slept together, but it was only once. It was 4 years ago at a festival. Now she's with a guy, but he doesn't. It's like, why do you know this much information? You were clearly digging for like the reasoning and the background of your boyfriend's friendship with this girl. I think it's a good space to like allow, if your partner is like, oh, this is my friend and you're hanging out with her, just exist in the reality of that and stop trying to like backtrack the history of this friendship and like catching out little things like, oh, like, I mean, let people stop being so stoic in, you know, our kind of how we interact with different people. Like, not everything is savored for just like the relationship that you're in. And that, like, I mean, I was at a party the other week with my fella and like friends of his, and they're like, a lot of them are tactile, there's girls, like it's very much an open space. And I'm just like, you know, be wild and free in the party. I'm not going to be, you know, and I'm so thankful that like the two of us are kind of cool with stuff like that, because I have been in situations where, you know, little ways that I was like interacting with male friends of mine were like totally sexualized by my ex. If I like kind of slap my friend on the shoulder while laughing, my ex would be like,
yeah.
And it was just like, oh, and so it really kind of, it was controlling.
Yeah.
And it's like with any friendship, male or female, if your boyfriend has a friend that you don't like, that's fine. You just don't be friends with them.
Like, yeah, I think like the thing is, what you have to really realize is that like you're entering someone's life and they have had a whole ass life before you. They've loads of friends. They've had loads of girlfriends. They've had loads of sex. Okay, that's just a given. They're not a fucking virgin and they're not fresh out of the womb. Okay, mm-hmm. they've had experiences, and those experiences have led that person to be the person that you want to be going out with. Now, I do think that sometimes men, just to go not against something you said there, I don't think it's always that girls are digging for the information. I've been in the situation where boyfriends have told me this information because they trust you as a girlfriend. They're like, oh yeah, Jessica, like, look, we did use the ride. And sometimes that information can land in your lap and you're like, why the fuck? Now I'm like visualizing you inside of her. When before I was cool with you being friends, now I'm like, oh, that's a whole other layer. And that can happen. But all of these things in every relationship, you have to learn how to like control your mind from going to these extreme places. Because guess what? He knew Jessica before you got with him. And if you break up, he's probably still going to be friends with Jessica. So what the fuck is the point in being that girlfriend who's like, I don't like your friend. I don't think she should be around us. Do you know what that's going to end up happening? You're the head melt of a girlfriend that's getting fucking dumped. And that's just the fact of it. If I had a boyfriend and I have a few male friends, if I had some boyfriend who was like at me, like, I can't believe you're with him. I can't believe you're with him. Oh my God. Like, I don't want you hanging around him. I'd be like, I've known this guy 5 years. I've known you a wet weekend. See you later. Like, you can't control people's friendships and expect that people, like, that your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your partner, whatever it is going to chop and change their friend group to suit you. Like, there is this kind of give and take in relationships where, like, yeah, not every single one of your boyfriend's friends are going to be your fucking bestie. But guess what? How much do you have to see them?
They're his friends.
Maybe once a month. Suck it up, bitch. And if the girl is being rude or bullying or anything, if there's something that you want to call her out on, totally like say it to her and be like, hey, look, you know, blah blah blah, like, I felt like maybe, you know, there can be a thing where like your boyfriend's girlfriend can be a bit like, hiya, oh, you wouldn't know anything about what he, you know, there can totally be this competitive thing.
There can
thing.
Be like situations where it's like, oh, she doesn't like me,
she's
around
trying
or
to
whatever.
Flex, let her.
Yeah, but also I think that's a situation that you kind of have to figure out yourself, because you don't want to be that like kind of weak girl who's like to your boyfriend, like, can you tell her to stop? Like, no. If someone is treating you badly, you fucking sort
figure
it.
Figure out your own battles.
And as well, fellas,
Oh, they hate that. I mean, shit.
They don't understand. Like, because sometimes I have been in the situation where a girl is just like, she is being a sly bitch to me, and I know she is, but the men are so unaware. I'm like, do you not think that was a bit rude? They're like, what? Oh no, she's so sound. It's like, to you she is. To me, she's like always turning her back to me or never asking me a question or whatever.
There's
or
a weird like, animalistic thing within us that unfortunately yeah. makes that happen at times. And call it internalized misogyny or the pay, whatever the fuck it is. Yeah. It is just that thing where like men are like, oh no, she was lovely to you. And you're like, she was really passive aggressive.
No,
and
no,
ask me, do I want a makeup wipe for the amount of makeup I'm wearing?
Yeah, it's like, no, no. Look, God, I have said it to men before. Yeah. I'm like, if there's one thing I know, it's how to spot a bitch. You do not know.
Or bitchy, like, yeah.
It's like, no, no. I know one thing, a bitch.
Mm.
And they're like, no, no, no. It's like, no, no. She's just a good bitch, but she is a bitch.
Mm-hmm. And I respect it.
And I fucking respect that bitch. But like, I do think I hate that though. Oh,
it is
when
annoying.
Men tell you shit though. Ugh. Like, it's like, do you know what happens? Sometimes when men are... A, if they're used to having female friends yeah. who they kind of speak to like in a laddie way, or if they have a lot of lad friends and then they're hanging out with you and you guys are getting on so well and then they're like saying this stuff. And you're like, why did you tell me that, you evil bastard? Like, oh no, no, she's fucking gorgeous. She's fucking gorgeous. It's like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Jono told me she's lethal in bed.
You're oh, like, I but you have to just also be like, this is life.
Yes.
My boyfriend's going to hear sometimes that someone's lethal in bed, or he's also going to be like, she's all right because she is. It's like,
yeah, like
what are you going to do? Be like,
no.
At least he's telling you.
Yeah.
You know, at least it's out there. But I do think...
There's going to be situations with like fellas friends, girlfriends or boyfriends that you're just going to have to figure out where you lie within that kind of like social hierarchy.
And it is like a dominance
yeah.
dynamic thing. It'll with figure the females in the group.
Totally.
Like, and I do think if a girl is being a bitch and you know she is, then just arm yourself and be the better bitch.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a bitch off
like
then.
You don't have to be like, you
don't
know...
Have to, and that's there's a subtle way to do
oh.
that.
Be smart about it. Don't be like, you fucking...
No, no, no.
Because then they're like, there's little things. Jono, your girlfriend's mental.
Yeah, you'd never want to be the psycho, you know?
Don't be the psycho and don't be the don't be the one... like
Or don't be the wimp who's like crying
yeah,
in the corner.
Always think of it. I always think of it from like the outside perspective. Like, okay, there's always this little voice in our head as women who's like, say it to him. Say it to him that his friend is being mean to me.
I feel so sad.
What is the outcome there? He's not going to be like, oh my poor baby, I will dump her. And he's gonna be
he's like
ah,
loser.
Would you ever shut up? Like, you just have to be like, there are like,
but you look so like bruised,
I know,
poor little me.
That's like growing up, bitch. Like, welcome,
I don't wanna look like
welcome
that.
To the adult party, okay? You're gonna yeah. be around bitches and you have to figure out how to fucking set yourself, like, let yourself like know that your dominance too. Like, just because she's known these lads for 10 years doesn't mean that you can't also be like on her level. Or just if she ends up that she's going to be a nut that you just cannot crack, ignore her. Just be like, hey, how's it
yeah,
going?
And let her
whatever.
Waltz around the party being this like bitch with a pole up her hole, you know? Let yeah. her be that. Like, you be then super sound and all like nice yeah. to everyone.
Kill them with kindness is like
yeah,
the
totally.
Best thing to do.
And fun. Like, yeah. you know, if you're hanging out with people, you want to be fun. If one girl, and men do notice that eventually, like, you know, if one girl's kind of causing drama and being
oh,
a
yeah.
bit rude, like, I mean, it's not fun to be around and just like, it's not needed. So like, yeah. I will always, my like fine tuning of bitching is like being really nice and being really fun. And if you want to like be moaning in the corner, that's on you.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm never going to get upset about some fucking dumb bitch. Sorry.
I'm never going to get upset about some dumb bitch. And just don't bring like, if you're in a new relationship, like, don't be bringing in stuff like, I don't like your friends into it. It's just like, no one wants to be going out with that person.
It is controlling, regardless of the reality, if this girl is being whatever. And I mean, totally, you just have to focus on the relationship that you have with your boyfriend. And if it is kind of like bullying or something a bit more extreme, or like, you know, actually impacting like
your relationship or your
yeah,
self-esteem.
Or that you don't want to hang out with her and it's like really uncomfortable for you. Definitely kind of like figure out how to express that to your boyfriend. But yeah, I mean, these things happen. Like, it's just like, I do think just extract the idea of her being a female. Cause like, I've been around like, you know, some of my boyfriends, like not the one now, but like in the past, like I've been around with like real British kind of fucking lads who are like,
yeah.
come on. I'm
yeah.
like,
I know.
Would not be friends with him, but what are you going to do?
There's just...
I'll just accept them for the night
life.
And be like, la la la.
Yeah.
I'll pretend to be like, I fucking
zonk. And
for
at
the
end, I do truly believe you'll always find something that you can talk about with. Like, yeah, you'll always get there. Like, I can meet some, like, boyfriend's friends, and I'm like, we're never going to have anything in common. All of a sudden, we're randomly talking about The Sopranos. Who knows?
Half, like, a year later, you're like, I hated you, yeah, when you first met. Look at us now.
Yeah, so, like, you never know. You'll get there. But
always try with people. Like, because, try. You know, she may have experience with her best friend going off anytime he gets a girlfriend, so maybe a bit standoffish. It's like, just try and be cool. And, like, first impressions, you know, it may grow into something a bit better.
Yeah, you'll get there. You'll get there. But don't bring it in too much, and don't overthink it.
Don't worry.
So, girls, that is it. The final podcast. This is the final It Gals of 2020,
oh my
girlies.
Good God.
Thank
what
you
a
to
year.
Everyone who listened over the year, to all, like, the new listeners. I know we got loads of new listeners over quarantine. Thanks for sticking by us.
Thank you so much for keeping us entertained in quarantine and just being there as, like, a group of pals.
I know, like, loads of girls were saying, like, you got me too. You guys got us through lockdown. And I'm like, oh, honey, you guys got us through lockdown too. You know, like, it was 100%.
Special thanks to our ex-gals as well. Yes. You guys have supported us so much and made it possible for us to be able to continue making content. Like, ex-gals are the backbone of this whole thing. We couldn't be doing it as we are without ex-gals. And we will never...
We stand you guys.
We will never... I can't say it enough. Like, I appreciate you guys so much. And it just drives us to want to make the most bomb content for 2021. Yes. Hopefully be back on stage, you know, doing little mini events with ex-gals, doing loads of new shit, fresh content.
Thingy's
spicing
white.
It up a little bit, gals. But thank you. And Merry Litmus.
Happy New Year, bitches. 2021. Come at me, brap. Bye, fuck gals.
Bye.